always be humble is the most important thing. Because when you come at it from a more humble point of view, you realize how much there's left to learn.
Welcome to the VMI Leader Journey Podcast, brought to you by the Center for Leadership and Ethics. Thank you for tuning in. This podcast features conversations on leadership with members of our VMI Corps of Cadets, alumni, and high-profile leaders who visit the Center for Leadership and Ethics and VMI Post. We are on this journey with you. My name is Major Catherine Roy, Communications and Marketing Specialist. Today's podcast hosts are my colleagues, Mr. Derek Pinkham, Conference Project Manager, with Ms. Emily Coleman, our Assistant Conference Planner. VMI Class of 2021's Alan Chu is our interview guest. Chu is a New Jersey native, a prosecutor on the Honor Court, president of the Omicron Delta Kappa Honor Society, and EMT chief. Chu plans on commissioning in the Army and to continue his medical training toward the goal of becoming an Army doctor. Chu said VMI gave him the opportunity to put his textbook understanding of leadership into practice. As an EMT, he's deepened his understanding of team dynamics, particularly in crises. As you listen to our interview, it will be no surprise to learn that Chu's top personal value is humility. In this episode, we've titled, Be Humble, There's More to Learn. We think that's a great message as we conclude our academic year of exploration on this year's theme, Teamwork, Out of Many, One. And without further delay, we give you VMI Class of 2021's Alan Chu.
Alan Chu, welcome to the VMI Leader Journey Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for sitting down with us. So Absolutely. We're just going to start off by you telling us a little bit about yourself and what led you to VMI.
I grew up in New Jersey my whole life. I've moved around 5 times, but it's always been Central New Jersey. And frankly, don't really have any ties to VMI or any military background in the family. But I remember in high school, I was kind of teetering between two sides, whether that be like a normal college, like for New Jersey, it'd be Rutgers. And then I thought about West Point, VMI, things like that. And I remember having like this Walter Mitty moment just in high school, looking outside the window and just thinking, I want to do something else. I don't want to sit in a classroom all day. And so I applied here.
You got your wish, I think.
I was still sitting in classrooms all day, but in a different kind of sense. But yeah, I came here for an open house, and I wouldn't say I fell in love with it. I thought people were a little bit crazy. But over time, I came to appreciate how much effort they put in their day-to-day. So this year, I am the EMT chief. I'm a prosecutor on the Honor Court, and I help out Colonel Looney and Colonel Sanborn with ODK. So I'm president of the Omicron Delta Kappa Society. Actually, I started off EMTing back in high school, I think when I was a junior in high school.
Okay.
So I had some experience in New Jersey coming in, but then also took the EMT class here just so I could, you know, get to know everyone who joins the program with my class. I think that's helped out tremendously.
Sure, right. And the EMTs work on post, right?
Right,
Yeah.
So we gave 24/7 coverage here in post.
So in this COVID time, are you called upon to work in that situation as well?
I'd say there was a lot more involvement during early return. So we'd be screening all the cadets and the family members. Lately, it's just been more to like business as usual, you know, just like any other year. The only different thing is imagine like adding a filter where everyone has more PPE. We're making sure we're following all the safety guidelines. But beyond that, it's just the same day to day.
Have your views changed of leadership from the time you entered VMI to where you are now with VMI?
I'd say it's changed every single year, frankly. So in high school it was more like textbookish. You know, you think a leader is something that's well-defined. It's always been one person in that position where you're always gonna be following up whatever that he or she says. But now coming into VMI, especially as a rep, you start to learn more or less how you're always simultaneously gonna be a follower and a leader, no matter what position you're in. There's people who are looking to you to give guidance, but at the same time, you can also lean on someone else for their experience, for what they can offer. And I think that goes all the way up until you're first, too. You never stop being a follower. I'd say starting from right here into first class year, one thing I've learned is there's always going to be a mentor in any class you interact with. So every single cadet here should eventually interact with, I think, a total of 7 classes, right? So 3 beneath you, 3 above you, your own class. Even when you're first, I've found that I've been able to learn so much from the rats. So much from the thirds. Within every class, you can find that mentor who just has something that you can appreciate. So whether that's, you know, grit or honor or just discipline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you should ever put someone down just because they're not your age group. There's, again, always something to learn.
In high school, were you familiar with the term followership?
Followership is just essentially another way to provide leadership to others, in my mind.
That's really cool. And so, yeah, I guess VMI really throws you into that atmosphere of being a follower right away, especially as a rat.
At a certain level, leading self, again, requires your own discipline, your own motivation every single morning. But what I've found to be like the driving force for leading others, and again, this ties in with leading self, is if you genuinely care about the people who are your followers, you'll do whatever it takes for anything to get accomplished. And I think part of it falls back to like what you might experience as toxic leadership. People who just want things for the position, who don't genuinely care for the others, they're not going to be as effective. That group's never going to function at the level they're capable of. But no matter what medium you're put in, if you care about the people that are on your team, you're going to do anything for them. And there's some book that I remember reading. It taught me, don't focus on the goals, focus on the system. You fix the system, the goals will follow, the accomplishments will follow. So don't focus on, you know, getting all the touchdowns per se. Focus on training, practicing, just fostering that group mentality.
For our Leadership and Ethics Conference, three of our overarching themes are leading self, leading peers, and leading teams. And you were talking about teamwork within VMI. So I was just saying, aside from trial and error, what is your experience in leading teams? And how has that improved your leadership?
I guess leading on a team, you should always start out more so in the follower mindset. I can kind of find an analogy with this during our Army times. It's like you're freshman year, you're an MS1, they call it, and you're essentially a Joe in the platoon. You don't have much of a role. But then as you gradually move up to, say, a squad leader, platoon sergeant, platoon leader, you're entrusted with more responsibilities. And by that time, you will have the know-how in terms of how to actually show others what the right way is or what the right methods are. So in terms of leading teams, before you even arrive to that part where you're successfully leading others, I think you have to be a follower and learn how to make mistakes and grow from that. And I've made a lot of mistakes on my way there. Again, going back to Army time, when I was a freshman in MS1, I'd always get lost, you know, doing land nav, or I might forget something that was pertinent that day. And yeah, you know, I'd get blown up, you know, things like that happen. But I'd remember it. I'd remember bringing it the next time, or knowing how to get unlost the next time.
Learn from your mistakes.
Right. And once you start learning, you can teach others, you know, as you move up through different positions. So now as a PL or a PSG, you can not only imbue what you had made mistakes in, but I think you also grow like a degree of sympathy, if that makes sense. Understanding what it felt like when you were in that position where you had missed out or done something less than par. And I guess similarly, when I was S2, I remember teaching the rats I was assigned to for, you know, academics and stuff, study tips that helped me, or things that I learned just throughout the year, right? Like, for example, you could fail a test, get a 40 week three, but as long as you don't let that hinder you, you change your systems, by the end of the semester, you can still get an A.
That actually drives us into our next theme of leading peers. So obviously leading your peers can be hard, especially in the rat line, I guess, when everybody's put on that same level. Can you give any advice for leading peers, or any experiences that you've had leading peers that you want to share, that you've learned from?
Right. Something that you thought was actually pretty successful?
Or super unsuccessful.
In terms of leading peers, frankly, initially, I really struggled with it. And some days it's not the easiest task, just because you respect your peers so much. You see them as equals. And so as a rat especially, it would feel almost wrong in some sense to take the mantle. You feel kind of, I don't know, it feels kind of dirty at times. But then gradually, I've come to learn that if you're able to take up the position, and again, do it for the right reasons, right? Not because you want power or like anything in that sense, but more so, you'd rather just make their lives easier, right? I think you can fall back on that kind of mindset where, hey, I can do this to help you. I'm not so much self-interested.
So you're the chief of the EMTs. There's got to be a situation where, especially when it's a high pressure situation, where sometimes you have to be directive, right? And these are your buds, your BRs, you know them from other places. But hey, in this crisis situation, I'm in charge, and look, we got to have some order. You know, maybe there's a situation there.
When you're in the role of an EMT, your certification legally is just the same as everyone else's. So in that sense, you're all peers, you're all equals. But when things happen, right, everyone has to find their role almost naturally. It's not even a spoken thing. So say someone gets injured. There's no time to discuss. There's no time to play, you know, rock, paper, scissors, who gets to be what. Everyone just knows their role. Yeah, so when something like that happens, a lot of times it's experience that comes through. So maybe some of the newer guys will yield that decision-making process to people who have been doing it for years before that. And when it finally does click for everyone, again, that little maybe 10, 15 seconds where people are figuring out what to do, it's like an orchestra. The music just plays, the progress just starts going.
You know, our boss at the Center, Colonel Gray at the Center for Leadership and Ethics, he's always talking about level 1, 2, and 3 initiative. Level 3 initiative, from what I gather, is you are the one, you're the leader. You're making those decisions. You're making that initiative to do something. So that makes sense that maybe a junior level member on this EMT team looks to older people or looks to the more experienced people to say, hey, you know, what do I do? But when the crisis is there, they're like, okay, I have to do this, I have to do that, you do this, you do that. So it comes natural. I wonder if VMI has helped cultivate any of that in you as becoming a leader.
Yeah, absolutely. VMI has provided so many opportunities, again, like I've said earlier, to fail. And I think it's through failing that you start to be comfortable under pressure. I remember one thing that a good friend of mine from the class of 20 taught me was pressure makes diamonds. So I find now that you actually work way better when you're under pressure. Again, going back to that example of like some emergency crisis happening, that's when you hit that, what's like a better phrase than like 20/20 vision? It's like you see things so clearly, it all makes sense all of a sudden.
Right. So, but I also imagine that you practice that. You guys, you know, especially since it's an EMT role, that maybe it's something you've even talked about, and that you have a playbook that you all follow.
Well, it's even like at VMI, I feel like you guys are cadets are under so much pressure, speaking of, all the time. You know, you guys are under a lot of pressure to do the right thing and to do really good and excel and exceed and learn as much as you can and go out and do well and become these amazingly responsible citizens and get back to your society. So I would feel like if I were in a situation like that and I'm constantly under this pressure that's over my head, when I would get to situations that were a crisis or I had to find how I felt when I was under this pressure from VMI, you know, it would just come more naturally. So I would feel like that would really help somebody in those situations.
Agreed, yeah.
What about a diverse team setting? Do you think VMI has helped you in how you act in a diverse team setting or how you lead yourself?
When you're looking at all these different people's academic performance, right, they might come from a whole slew of backgrounds that you've never personally interacted with yourself. So again, people's backgrounds always differ. Someone might have a tutor all their life and all of a sudden they're on their own now. Or maybe someone else is used to studying on their own and always succeeding and all of a sudden they're failing. But learning how to understand where they're coming from, especially when you're sitting down with them one-on-one, you get to learn more about them. But seeing how their mindset works, how they actually get to the right conclusions, I think that'll help them with studying and then applying that mindset anywhere else. I'm sure you could find success as well.
What is one thing that you think is going to be the most valuable thing that you take away from VMI when you decide to commission?
I think learning to always be humble is the most important thing, because when you come at it from a more humble point of view, you realize how much there's left to learn. And I gave an example earlier that there's at least seven classes you'll interact with here at VMI. And each one will provide something different. Each person has something to offer for you to improve on. So like every day you wake up, you're never going to be perfect. You should never aim to be perfect that day. You should always aim for talking with someone, figuring out what you could learn from them. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we are talking about in our conference this year is personal values. Is there a personal value that you make sure that goes into your leadership? You talked a little bit about understanding who your peers are to be able to talk to them. That might be one value. Is there another one maybe that you see that is important to you?
I'd say one thing that VMI always ingrains in each cadet is the value of honor. I think in today's society that is more than valuable. I think it's essential. And if you ever reach that point where you want to care for your team, you get the first to understand that there is a baseline of trust. And you can't have that unless people are honorable. So every single member of your team, you have to be able to entrust responsibilities to. But if they're not going to be honest with you, if they're going to lie right? Break the honor code we value so much here. Then at that point, I think the whole system just crumbles.
Right. Good one.
Definitely. Yeah. So what does leadership mean to you?
When I think of leadership, I think of someone who would sacrifice your own time for your own, for your benefit. Someone, again, who genuinely cares for you beyond just the organization. To me, a leader, and this is going to be really cheesy, but to me, a leader when I was a rat would be like my CEO, Patrick Doolin, from 18. I'm not sure if it was like a superficial act. If it was, it was truly amazing. But you'd always have a catchphrase for us during rat training time. It'd be still in the fight, right? Best on the hill, right? Every damn day, right? And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. You know, we'd all geek out. It turns out he'd practice that in front of the mirror all day when he was in his room just to make sure it was like perfectly timed for us.
Mm-hmm.
And just perfecting these little things because he knows how much we are impressionable and how much of an impact he can have in our lives. Seeing that and now understanding it from an upperclassman point of view, it means just that much more.
That's awesome. A little bit of lead by example there.
Absolutely.
Well, Alan, thank you so much for sitting down with us.
Yeah, absolutely. It was painless. You guys were awesome.
The CLE would like to thank the following. Alumnus Caleb Minus, Class of 20, for the intro and backing music. Find more of his musical stylings on his Instagram page, at Minus Official. That's at M-Y-N-U-S Official. Colonel David Gray, USA retired, director of the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics. And of course, as always, our podcast guests.
Find this podcast and other CLE programming information on the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics website, or try our YouTube channel, or on Podbean. Follow the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram accounts. See you next episode of The Journey. Thanks for tuning in.